Today, who do you love? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. This is not a very easy message we're going to talk about today. How many of you, before I pray, in the last 24 to 48 hours, have seen one commercial on TV did not promote you to do something for you? I'm going to ask that question again before I pray. How many of you in the last 24 to 48 hours saw one commercial on TV, heard one commercial on radio, seen one advertisement in a book or magazine that did not emphasize you, to do something for you? Even if you're doing something for the house, for the family, for work, it is something centered around you loving you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. It is a good word, a hard word. Many of us don't want to think about you being this way, Jesus. But it is about you. Who do we love? And Lord, I think that the greatest shame is it shouldn't be asked, who do we love, but what do we love? Father, you know my prayer is that you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. For this is about you and you alone. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 10. Would you go over to verse 34 with me? Chapter 10 is Jesus Christ laying out some things about his disciples and laying out what they're going to go through. And how he's letting them know that, hey, they're not going to be crazy about you in this world. Now, that don't just stop with the disciples. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just not stop with the disciples. It continues on with all of us today that are believers. And I don't want to use the word frustrated, but I get that way when the church tries its best to be loved. God has said that we are salt and the world is an open wound. You ever put salt in an open wound and have people feel good about it? Just walk by them and say, oh man, I see that cut. Come here. Let me pour some salt on that. I don't think that we understand who we are to love and what that love is going to cost us. So today, when we leave here, I want us to have to make a decision. That's what good preaching is, you know. Preaching is simply telling you and I what we already know and haven't done anything about yet. All right. So maybe we can go down that road again. Mm-hmm. Just a teeny weeny, itsy bitsy way. Verse 34, after Jesus talked to the disciples, he lays some things out to all of us. And I don't like this, but it's in the Bible. So guess what? I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to live it. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, then we have some Christmas songs. Goodwill towards men and peace on earth. Well, well, well. Maybe there's a misunderstanding in that little thing, land. Because you know some of the worst sins is when we sing hymns. Some of the worst sins in our lives is when we pray. I did not come to give peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but I want to give you a sword. I want to bring the sword. But if I was in Alabama right now, y'all wouldn't be hearing sword. You, what would you be hearing? Sword.
Yes, sir.
Because in Alabama, you're supposed to pronounce every letter.
Yes, sir.
I know some of y'all in here not feeling good because you got the P pneumonia. Verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance. If you don't know what that big word variance means, I have come to set at odds against his father. I come, man, to mess up a daughter's life with his dad and against her mother. You know, you got a daughter-in-law. I want to mess up that relationship too. Can I get an amen, folks? A man's foes, don't worry about the outside. Most of your foes are going to be in the house. Tell me what destroys the church. Outside pressure or inside disunity?
Inside disunity.
Woo! Are you glad you came today? I'm going to see if I can change your attitude like that. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Someone hear that? Yeah. Did you? Well, wait a minute. They shouldn't have wrote that in the Bible. That's not what we teach. That's not what we believe in today's church. Don't say nothing's going to turn somebody off. That's not showing love. Yeah, definitely not showing love to God. Because my whole philosophy is this. I think it's impossible to turn someone off who's never been on.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They only got one way to go. You ever tried to walk into a room you're already in? Can I get an amen from somebody? Hey, I'm throwing theological philosophy.
Yes.
From Batman on that right there.
That's deep.
Deep right there. I don't know about you, but I never have tried to turn a light switch on that's already on. And I don't know how electricity works, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do.
Amen. Oh, man.
We got a bad understanding of this love business. And God said, hey, don't ever think I am satisfied with you or anyone else. If you say you are mine and you love anything more than me, you are not worthy of me. Praise be to God for grace.
Amen.
And mercy.
Amen.
I think a lot of us would be a little mixed up. He that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You should see some of the commentary. I was reading last night, well, early this morning, some of the commentary trying to explain that all. Oh, they hen and hawing and iffing and not. And I was coughing in the middle of their explanation. Hey, sounds pretty clear to me. They take this. He that taketh not his cross up, and we're talking about daily, and follow after me, it's not worthy of me. Who do you love? Yeah. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, you can lose your life. There's a lot of people out there that's lost their lives. You know, some people lost their lives over drugs. So God says, you lose your life to drugs, that don't matter. That don't count right there. No, you don't find me if you lose your life to drugs. Some people lost their lives to being sold out to finances. Somebody's lost their life to someone of the opposite sex. And I'm going to leave it right there. Can I get an amen? Amen. To the opposite sex. You will give up your walk with God because someone of the opposite sex finally pays attention to you. People that walk with God all their lives, talk to me, have said what they believe and put down on paper what they believe. Some good-looking honey comes along with smelling good, and you forget all about Jesus. You forget all about your senses. Some good-looking guy comes along that you think, oh, my land, honey on a stick. That's what my wife said when she first met me. Mark said, we'll have confession later on. Did you say that when you first met me, too? Okay. You need to confess that, Mark. Come on, talk to me, really. I mean, seriously. Talk a great game about loving God, and the opposite sex just blow up your Christianity. You can lose your life to a lot of things. God said, but if you lose it for his sake, you'll find it.
Amen. Thank you.
So shall we get in these verses or shall I just close in prayer?
No, it's good.
Somebody said, yeah, I just close in prayer, bro. Give me plenty of time to go and get out of my parking space to give somebody else space for the next service. Book of John, we're going to get excited about the book of John, but today is Matthew. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. Now, it seems as though that there are four characteristics that you run into in the Bible when it comes to peace. When it comes to peace. Peace with God, peace of God, peace from God, and peace on earth. Now the first three God has sent for you and I to experience today. Can't hear you. Peace with God. You got to make yourself right with God. You have to confess your sins. There can be nothing between you and him. Peace with God. That comes through faith and salvation. It does not depend upon how you live. It depends upon what he has done on the cross and not staying dead but have been resurrected. There is no other great religious leaders, no other ones who can claim. No one can claim. Jesus Christ messed up every religion when he says, I am the only way. Can someone talk to the pastor? Well, you know, religion has many ways to God, Pastor. And, you know, God is in the middle of the spoke of the wheel. And in the center, there's all kinds of spokes that get you to the center. And then that's how it works because, you know, then we got a religious wheel with all the different spokes of religion that leads to God. Well, I got a problem with that explanation because Jesus Christ said there's only one spoke in the wheel. That's him. Peace with God. And then we got peace, what? From God. Peace from God. When you got peace with God, that is the inner being of you and I, we receive the peace from God and we have rest in him. And that leads to the peace of God, which every Christian should have and live in their lives if they are obedient. But he didn't say any one of those, did he? He said, I didn't come to have peace on earth. Can anyone in here just shout it out if you think you know the answer? What is the peace on earth? What does that mean? I heard some real... What's that? Jesus Christ is our peace. Yes, he is. But not on earth in this context. Peace on earth. Going along to get along. I'm okay, you okay. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Last time I saw that seagull, it was a mess.
Content?
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. One more shout out. Freedom from? I'm sorry. Peace from turmoil? Oh, peace on earth. We think about it. We don't want war. We don't want upset. We don't want troubles. Yeah, very good, but no. No, 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 no. We don't get peace on earth until the millennial kingdom of Christ. Okay? He's now, until then, I didn't send for us to be peaceful and restful and get along with everybody. I sent you here to mess up society. I sent you here to let the world know that the king, the fifth world kingdom is coming. And Jesus is saying, I am not coming as a suffering, dying servant next time. I am coming as a conquering king. And your job and my job as the salt of the earth is let the whole world know, is it going to be civil or is it going to be hostile? It's going to be civil if you submit to him before he gets here. It's going to be all hostile after he gets here. Do you understand? At the end of the tribulation period, there will be no non-believers going into the millennial kingdom. God is going to kill every non-believer when he comes back after tribulation to go into the millennium. Now, we're going to have non-believers going to be born during the millennial period because of Christians having babies still in the flesh. But God, when he comes back, he's coming back to wipe out all non-believers. And the only ones going to march into the new millennium is those of us who've been raptured to rule with him and those who made it through the tribulation period with their flesh. I did not come for peace on earth. And you got to understand that you cannot relate, you cannot have a great relationship with others until you get your love relationship right with Christ. When you got your love relationship right with Christ, it is no contest about who else you love. Well, I guess I better leave that one alone for a little while, huh? I came not to send peace, but to war in the factions. If you understand, in the world kingdoms in our history of the world, that's why we call it world history. I say one heavy thing every sermon, and that was it. In the midst of world history, tell me how many of those that was in control had peace with the next world kingdom that was coming along to conquer it? How well did Babylon get along with Persia? When Babylon realized that Persia was trying to conquer it. How well did Persia get along with Greece? When it realized that Greece was trying to conquer it. How well did Greece and Rome get along together? Isn't it amazing that the only kingdom that's coming, whose ambassador is supposed to be warning people, that wants to get along, is us Christian ambassadors? We want to get along with the world because we love the world more than we love God. Well, verse 35, for I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against a mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be of his own household. Do you love God more than you love family? Talk to me. Do you love God more than you love your family? And let me ask you the second backup question. Does your family know you love God more than them? I had a brother tell me one time, he said, Pastor, I know what we've been taught, and I know all the things that has been said. He said, but I never, ever believed in abortion until my daughter got pregnant. I can't hear you. And the key from ruining her life, we're going to go along with the abortion. There wasn't no mediocre Christian that told that to me. Wasn't someone that's haphazard in the church. It was a man and a family that said they walked with God, but because of the embarrassment. I like that. Is that the Holy Spirit? I got to do what's best. What's best is not to help a sin. Somebody talk to me. I had another brother. A lot of brothers no longer friends because of my stand of loving God more than I love them. Another brother, black brother, just want to make sure you understand this is a fair and balanced church for everybody. Amen. The first brother was white, so I got to keep it balanced. And if you're okay with coming and talk to me, you can give me some Hispanic examples and some Bulgarian examples, because we want to be a church for all peoples. Yeah, I mean, red flat out, brother, man, we had talked for years about God and how everyone's the same and how God wants to use, have all of us merged together. Until his daughter that was black started dating somebody white. Now, let me tell you how stupid and prejudiced he was. He said, my black son dating a white woman don't bother me. But my black daughter marrying a white guy, she better never bring one home. Now, we're not talking about haphazard Christian. We're talking about one that's in the church, been a deacon. Who do you love? Who do you love? Do you love God more than your family? And does your family know you love God more than them? I'm going to give you a little secret, folks. You can talk to anybody in my family. Anybody. Any one of the kids, my wife, relatives, acquaintances in the family. You can ask them, do you think Hutch loves God more than you? Any of my kids know if it comes down to them and God, they lose. They lose. My wife knows it comes down between me and her and God. It's no competition. My wife knows I love God so much more than her. And that turns me free to love her. Like nobody else can. Turns me free to love my kids like nobody else can. And we have a blast together as a family. Last night, I mean, we're laying up in bed, Pat and I, we're having good old-fashioned, I'm hurting time. All of a sudden, here comes our daughter walks in. Then here comes this little squirt. Curtis, he comes in, jumps in bed. Then this Moby Dick. Sherman, my son. Light goes dark. He dies in the bed. Then Alicia, one that God has put in our lives to help in our family. She's in. All in there, and you know, you keep saying, get out. You have your own room. We're laughing like crazy in there. But guess what? That happens when there's no sin between us. Because I would turn my back on them quick. If they sin, they won't repent. They will be out of my house. Who do you love? You love God more than your family. Hard saying, Jesus. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Whoa, 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 whoa. My. I guess the only way I can ask this question is, do you love God more than your comfort? Love God more than being comfortable? I pick up a cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? You have a good idea what that means? I don't know about you, man, but last time Jesus picked up the cross, he didn't live. And folks, you know, they really, I mean, it's just absolute, I love critics. Don't you love critics? They jump on, well, if God loved us so much, why didn't he die? Because I don't know about you, how many of you in here got kids? Got kids? Which is easier? To sit and watch your child die when they're not supposed to and didn't do anything wrong, or for you to die in their place. God moved down the greatest avenue of love by loving his son enough to let him die for you so he can love you. Woo! Can I get an amen from somebody, man? I'm going to have faith bumps here in a minute. Do you love God more than your comfort? Ow! Because I tell you, folks, I love being comfortable. Can I get it, baby? I love what? I love comfort. I love people giving me stuff to make me more comfortable. Can I get an amen? You know, I can drive an old jalopy. Amen? I can drive an old jalopy. But I like luxury. Anybody else? Talk to me. Anybody else? I love being what? Comfortable. But you know what's so amazing to me? If I love God more than my comfort, he can trust me with some luxury. If he can trust me in turmoil and pain and hurt and sickness, he can trust me in anything else. Because he knows, Lord, I love you. I love you more than anything that can make me more comfortable, Lord. Are we spending too much time on this? Are you beginning to see where I'm going on the decision you need to make? And every one of you in here who understood the book of Romans when we went through chapter 14 and 15, understand that our Christianity is not private, and you need to make a stand to show the world that you are salt. That means getting out of your comfort zone. That means picking up your cross. And there was many of you that committed that you're going to walk that life. So here I am reminding you again. Who do you love? Well, I guess we got one verse to go, sir. Should we finish? Should we finish, Marco? He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that lose his life for my sake shall find it. Okay. Guess we better ask a question. You guys know what's coming. Do you love your life more than Christ? Come on now. Do you love your life more than you love Christ? Because if you do, you're going to do the things that's going to be advantageous for your life. And I'm not talking about your spiritual life. Because it says if you lose it for his sake. Well, I feel pretty good. I think we got through all the verses that we need to get through today. The question is, did we get through all the understanding of the decision you need to make today? Who do you love? That's a commercial, isn't it? It's a song? It's used in a commercial, isn't it? I don't want to pretend like I know what the commercial is, but I think it's about beer. Is it about beer? How many of you in here? Is willing to sacrifice for God's sake. Your family, your comfort, your life. Sacrifice it for the love of God. You need to make that decision, folks. Because life isn't going to be as good if you don't. It's here for the taking. Just right here. That right now. You don't have to go to school and find out about it. You don't have to get a degree in it. It's just a decision. As for me and my house, decision is made. Father, we thank you. All of us need to look at and examine our lives to see who we love, to see what we love. The life you have for us can seem sacrificial, but it is not. It is a true way to freedom. May everyone in here decide now who they're going to love. And when we decide who we're going to love, Lord, it's easy to find out who we're going to trust. We just praise you and thank you in your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name. We all say.